If you have your Bibles this morning, John chapter 3, and then John chapter 15. John chapter 3, John chapter 15. And of course, Matthew chapter 5, which is our text this morning. That's all right, you old school people. I still love hearing Bibles turning. For the rest of you, you can access People's Net, the Living Waters Wi-Fi, and access the Bible there if you need to. Gail got a new tablet, but she still has a Bible, so she's going both ways. Matthew chapter 5. Father, we thank you this morning. Let's just begin thanking him. Lord, we thank you this morning for ears to hear what your word's going to speak to us. God, I thank you this morning, Lord, as you preach this sermon about the pure in heart. Father, I thank you this morning that you're calling Living Waters to be people that are pure of heart. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I asked you, I said, what would your list look like if you were making out a list of how to be happy and blessed? What would your list look like? Would your list include the merciful? Would your list include being poor in spirit? Would your list include being persecuted to be happy? I think on my list, this may be the only one that I came close. If I was making my own list of being blessed and happy, I think this is the one that I may have come close to, because I want to see God. Church, I want to see God. I want to see him move in my life. I want to see him move in my family, and I want to see him every day. And I hope that's your desire also, is to see God every day. And this is the promise for being pure in heart. Happy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Moses saw God. Saw a little bit of him, didn't he? God the Father. Guess what? Moses was pretty pure in heart. Be able to follow, ask what God was to do, and he did it. Blessed are the pure in heart. And already, you understand, when it comes to pureness, that is something that is so lacking in our society today. There's always a motive. There's always something. When you get a phone call and someone says, yeah, I can do this for you for nothing. Yeah, right. Ain't nothing. What's the catch? Last time, Melissa and I went out to get our free gifts that would only require a couple of hours of our time. 6 hours later, we've got our free gifts. Granted, they were pretty good free gifts, but still, it was 6 hours later. No, but the pure in heart. And we're going to talk about the different things that Jesus talks about, because he talks about the pure in heart. Because how many of you know, again, look at where we've just gone. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's great character of God. Last week, blessed are the merciful. Man, there's another great character of God. God is mercy. This week, blessed are the pure in heart. How many of you know we're still talking about a great character trait of God? God's heart and his motives are pure. He's altogether pure. His son Jesus was altogether sinless. He lived a sinless life. He was completely pure. And this word pure in the Greek, when you look it up, it's exactly what it says. What type of church is Jesus coming back for? A church without? Better get the spot remover out, Pastor. He's coming back for a pure church without spot or wrinkle. A blame. When you talk about Job. What did the Lord tell the devil about Job? That Job was what? He was upright and blameless. He was pure in heart. That's why you can do anything you want to Job, and it'll be okay. Because Job is pure in heart. He's upright. He's blameless. The only way, you know this and I know this, the only way, though, we can become pure is by what? It's by the grace of God. The only way we can see God is because of His grace, because of His forgiveness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We were all in that wretched and lost state. We couldn't see God. All we could see was our mistakes. All we could see was our failures. Now, I don't have this testimony like a lot of people do, that I was walking down this pathway of destruction. But how many of you know, even though I was raised in a Christian home, by 3 or 4 days old, my mom had me in church, and I was in church for the rest of my life. I've never tasted of the world. But how many of you know, I still needed Jesus more than I needed my next breath. And we've got to understand this, church. So many people out there say, but I believe in God. I believe in God. Well, let me tell you something, church. So doesn't the devil. As a matter of fact, I bet he believes in him more than you. See, it's one thing to know, to believe in God. But it's another thing to be like Paul and say, I know in whom I have believed. To get to that place of knowing. And the only way we can get there is to be pure in heart. Allow the blood of Jesus to come and wash us, to cleanse us from our sins. Then we're able to receive salvation, and then we're able to see God. Two scriptures in John, you can look at them up on the board, the next screen, shows us very clearly about seeing, this word seeing God. John chapter 3, how he ends the verse, or this chapter rather, he says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. They will not see God. They will not see the kingdom of God because they do not believe. They do not have the everlasting life because they're not believing in the Son. Be able to believe in the Son takes a pureness of heart, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's a sad statement, is it? That the wrath of God abides on a person? I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody, but yet that's what's happening to those who are not pure in heart and who do not believe, do not have the grace of God that has forgiven them and is making a way for them. John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus says this, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who what? Sees. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on that day, and you will surely see God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that day. Are you, church? Why? Because everyone who sees the Son of God, and again, to see, truly see Jesus, to be able to truly see God, requires a pure heart. Now let's get to our story here, John chapter 3. And notice, a Pharisee is coming to see Jesus. And teens, what do we talk about? What's a Pharisee? He's fair, you see. He's a religious, very religious man. You don't become a Pharisee on accident. It is something you train for. It's something you aspire for. It's a very elite group of religious people. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? He didn't want anyone to know that he was going to go check out and hang out with Jesus. Because he would have been mocked. He would have been ridiculed. He would have been made fun of. And so he finds Jesus at night. Rabbi? And notice right away, Nicodemus starts saying things that no good Pharisee would ever say, Jesus. We know that you're a teacher come from God. Surprised Jesus didn't fall back flat on his back right then. Acknowledging that Jesus came from God. And then, even worse than that, and that no one can do these signs, acknowledging the signs and wonders that Jesus has done. Woo! What type of Pharisee are you, Nicodemus? You're a teacher, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And Jesus answered. He didn't ask him a question. He didn't ask him a question. And Jesus answered. Why? Because Jesus is a true prophet. He is God that knows, all omniscient. Amen, all knowing. And Jesus answered and said to him, and notice Jesus' words. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot what? See, the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, unless you become pure of heart, you can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, this is a good question. Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Unless one is born again, unless he enters a second time into his mother's womb and is born. And notice this words in verse 5. Now Jesus answers the question. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Being born again, it's true salvation. True salvation, born of the Spirit. Yes, we're born of water. That's what happens when your mom gave birth to you, but we got to have a second birth. So important to have a second birth, a time where we allow the Spirit of God. Is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians? Puts it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, for what by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or frees, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. How many of you know that baptism into the body of Christ, that salvation that each and every person has to become pure in heart, to allow Jesus to come into our lives and say, you know, my blood is not going to be the payment for all your sins. I'm going to wash you and make you clean, make you whole. And how many of you know, with that salvation comes no guilt, no condemnation. With it comes the promise that he takes our sins, he casts them as far as the east is from the west. He casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and we've been made clean. We've been made spotless. Hallelujah. Now we qualify so that when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for those without spot or wrinkle. Guess what? Because we've been washed under the blood of the Lamb, we now qualify. Give yourselves a hand. They're going. Woo! Now here's a question that came up then to me as I was studying. The pure in heart. Well, what else can you fill your hearts with? Because, and again, the very first time I preached this message, I was youth pastor. And, of course, thinking youth pastor, what's the best thing? If you're going to talk about being filled, then jelly donuts. Because that's what you take a donut and you go, and you fill it with some type of a filling. And so I use this for my message this morning, or when I was very, very first time I ever preached this passage, because immediately I thought about, what is your heart filled with, Mike? Jelly. But isn't it interesting that we turn over to the book of Acts, and in chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter asks Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Ooh. Ooh. Dakota says, that's worse than jelly. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So apparently, as believers, we've got to be careful that we don't end up like Ananias. Ananias was part of the church. Him and Sapphira were believers. But somehow, in the process of church, in the process of going through the motions, somehow Ananias and Sapphira allow their heart to be filled with the devil. And you are the devil, and you are bad. Isn't this an interesting way of what type of a question to ask a believer? When's the last time you asked someone that? Why has Satan filled your heart? Maybe we should case sometimes the way someone acts. Because I know that ain't God. That you're filled with the Spirit, but it ain't with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Why has Satan filled your heart? Church, again, the Beatitudes. How to get into the kingdom of God, and then how to stay successful and moving forward in the kingdom of God. And happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, we've got to be careful, because here's what we see, and we see it some folks in the Bible. Again, here's Judas. What happened to Judas? He was walking with Jesus every day, and yet Satan filled his heart. He began to, and here's the word we use in around the Christian circles. He backslided. And we're not talking about deluge. Person who backslides. A person who, they don't realize that Satan has begun to fill their heart. And he starts at where, Mike? Starts right here. He starts throwing these thoughts in believers' heads. And they start thinking these crazy thoughts. And he starts, boom, the darts. Scripture calls them the darts. The fiery darts that he throws at believers. And because a believer hasn't put on the whole armor of God, his shield of faith is not there to be able to quench the fiery darts. Oh, church, we've got to guard our heart. Let me remind you what Proverbs says. It says, keep, the King James says, guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs all the issues of life. Guard your heart. That word keep there, it means to block, to put up a blockade. Put up a blockade over your heart. Guard it. It's that important. To keep guarding our heart from negativity, from these thoughts that the enemy tries to throw at us. I don't know about you. You probably didn't know it. But I had a heart attack this week. The enemy attacked my heart. You want to have a heart attack this week? Was your heart attacked this week? Oh, come on. Listen, you got to know if pastor's message is on blessed are the pure in heart. Do you think my heart was attacked this week? Can't blame Isaiah. He wasn't there that day. And I wouldn't blame you anyway. Can't blame Dakota. I know he would never do it. But in my fifth grade class this week, health, fifth period class this week in health, I opened up the teacher's book to start teaching on abstinence, and there was Miss October looking at me. Miss Pornography. There was a naked lady right there that they had put in my textbook. Oh, yeah. And part of me wanted to laugh because I'm like, devil? Here I am preaching on being pure in heart, and here's this porn right in front of me in my textbook. And look at those boys. You rascal. I know it's one of you rascal boys just did this. Because I just stepped out of the room to go talk to another teacher and came back in. It was a test. How pure in heart, how pure in my mind am I going to be? Taking every thought in captivity under the obedience. Cast down every high imagination, everything exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm quoting the scripture, right? Because you're not supposed to be else. You know, God made us so that we can't think on two things at one time. And so I start quoting this passage of scripture. I was taught that a long time ago, that anytime you start having and entertaining a negative thought, you quote this scripture because it's so stinking long for one. Plus, it's the truth of God, that casting down every imagination, every high thing, exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the obedience and captivity of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I needed to do. And then turn Miss October over and go to another page. Man. And we're all tested. Amen? We're all tested. We all get this purity test all the time. Here's what I know about the pure in heart. And you got to appreciate this. The pure in heart see God in creation and in His handiwork every day. The pure in heart are awed and amazed when they look at God's handiwork. Whether it's the skies, whether it's the sunset, whether it's a birthing of a child or an animal, in God's beauty in His creation. And the pure in heart see God in that. You realize that? That's one of the reasons you know you're pure in heart, because you're still awed and amazed by God's creation. Notice what Jesus said. Assuredly, I say unto you, unless you're converted and become as little children, you by no means enter the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus didn't say teenager. No, He said little children. You know why little children? Because little children are innocent. Little children are pure of heart. Now, they may say some truthful things, but they do it out of a pure heart. They do it out of innocence. Unless you become like a little child, you will not see the kingdom of God. Our hearts have to stay pure. Now, here's the big question then. How do we keep our hearts pure? Because, again, perfect. We're talking hearts perfect. Hearts spotless, hearts that are completely clean and perfect. How do we do it? Well, this is my aha moment for the week for me, and I hope it is for you also. The good news, God does it for you. It was that way when you got saved, the grace that saved you. You didn't do anything to earn it. You just received it. Guess what? I read in our last passage of Scripture, John chapter 15. Turn over there. John chapter 15. And you're going to see something. This changed my life. This changed the way I'll read this passage of Scripture forever and ever. It's my aha moment. Hopefully it will be for you. Blessed are the pure. The Greek word, and I know you love these Greek lessons, the Greek word for pure that Jesus used there is katharos. Wish Kathy were here. That's about as close as you can get to Kathy as you can get. Kathy means pure. And we read here in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And then look at the next two verses. And two times in the next two verses, the same word, katharos, is used. Do you see them? Do you see that word, pure, up there? It's the exact same word, katharos. Do you see it in those two verses? Let Pastor help you then. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he catheros. Makes pure. Every fruit, every branch that bears fruit, he catheros, he purifies, that it may bear more fruit. Woo! That's good news for us as believers, because you are already catheros. You are already pure because of the word which I have spoken to you. And when you abide in me and I in you, he goes on. I don't know about you, but this is exciting. God says that as long as I'm abiding in him and I'm bearing fruit, that he is constantly in the process of pruning me, purifying me. Wow, I got excited. I don't know about you, I got excited when I realized that God is doing this in me all the time. As long as I continue to abide in him, as long as I continue to stay close, he's going to be pruning on me. He's going to be purifying me so that I will remain pure in heart. Hallelujah. I shouldn't be surprised. It was grace that I was saved that I didn't deserve. And here it is, God doing the work in me again. I don't have to do anything. Just abide in him and produce some fruit. And as long as I do that, God is purifying my heart. Woo! Like I say, I'll never read this passage of Scripture again the same. This was life-changing for me. It's like, glory to God. I'm being made pure so that I can bear more fruit. It's exciting today, isn't it, to be a believer? Isn't it exciting today to understand that what we're walking in and the level of God's love for us, that he's got it all planned out so that even on my worst days and stuff, he's still working, he's still purifying me, he's still cleansing me. Amen. Stand with me this morning. We used to sing a song. What key should I do this in? Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Sing that again. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Mold me and make me. Lizard, I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. May I be like you. And we are church. Let's just thank him for it this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. Blessed, happy are we this morning because we're pure in heart. Lord, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything that you have done in us. Lord, we look forward to seeing you today, tomorrow, and Lord, every day of our lives.
till you take us home to be with you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Lord, shine his face on you. May he just fill your heart today and this week with a pureness. In Jesus' name, amen.